ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवी सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नास्तप्रियेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुतमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भावति नैस्तिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम्। De crème de la crème, hè? Bhagavatam. Oké. We're reading from the fourth canto, Chapter 31, entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas. Text 6. Sorry? Yeah? Right. Yad Adishtam Bhagavata Shivena Adokshajena Cha तत् गृहेषु प्रसक्तानां प्रायश क्षपितं प्रभो याद् आदिष्टं भगवता शिवेनाधोक्षजेन च तद् गृहेषु प्रसक्तानां प्रायशाक्षपितं प्रभो यत् वत् अदिष्टं वास् इन्स्ट्रक्टेड् भगवता बै द एक्साल्टेड् पर्सनालिटी शिवेन लोर्ड् शिव अदोक्षजेन बै लोर्ड् विष्णु च आल्सो तत् that griheshu to family affairs prasaktanam by us who were too much attached prayasha almost kshapitam forgotten prabho O master. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Master, may we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Please repeat. O Master, may we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Purport. Remaining in family life is a kind of concession for sense enjoyment. One should know that sense enjoyment is not required, but one has to accept sense enjoyment inasmuch as one has to live. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, Kamasya Nendriya Priti. One has to become a Goswami and control his senses. One should not simply use his senses for sense gratification. Rather, the senses should be employed just as much as required for maintaining body and soul together. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha. One should not be attached to sense objects, but should accept sense enjoyment as much as required, no more. If one wishes to enjoy the senses more than required, he becomes attached to family life, which means bondage. All the prachetas admitted their fault in remaining in household life. Om Magyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam vitam stam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam vitam scha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Yad adishtam bhagavata shivana doksha jena cha tad griyeshu prasaktanam prayasya kshapitam prabho. O Master, may we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So two points are mentioned in the verse and also in the purport. The first one is family life, and the second one is sense gratification, and they go very well together. And it's natural for the living entity to enjoy. Anandamoy, it's the Sanskrit for the enjoying propensity, because by nature the soul is ananda, he is blissful. He enjoys in the spiritual world with Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to all our senses. But in the material world, that propensity to enjoy is still there. And it is manifested usually in the attraction between male and female. One Sanskrit term is maitunya agara. The material world is a place where everyone is bounded by the shackles of sex desire. And it's Srila Prabhupada also said sometimes that sex enjoyment is the highest pleasure in the material world. So therefore, they're always together. So the goal of life, in the material world, there is two purposes. One is called matra prasiddhaye, which means sense gratification. The purpose of this world is sense gratification. The purpose of this body, the mind, the senses, could be sense gratification. Matra prasiddhaye. But there is another one called atma prasiddhaye, which means this world and everything in it, including our senses, mind, intelligence, the human form of life, is meant for spiritual advancement. And therefore, in the Vedanta Sutra, the opening verse sounds Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Once we attain the human form of life, then it's time, it's meant for self-realization, for investigating the absolute truth. And Srila Prabhupada said that we should become very pessimistic in material life, then one can make progress in spiritual life. We should understand that the material world is a place of misery, dukhalyam ashashvatam. It's all temporary. We come here temporarily. It's not our natural position. It is incompatible, matter and spirit, actually. There is a higher goal, that is to live blissfully, perpetually in the spiritual world. And we have to go back home. We have to go back to Godhead. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto, Kamasya Nendriya Priti. One has to become a Goswami and control his senses. One has to become a transcendentalist. Try to realize Brahman. I'm aham brahmasmi, I'm not this body. I'm a spirit, spiritual living entity. And a Goswami means a master of the senses. And but most, even devotees, they can't take immediately sannyas. They can immediately completely control all their senses. So therefore the grihastha ashram is there. You have two kinds of griya. You have grihastha and grihamedi. Grihamedi means you just enter family life for sense gratification. Eat, sleep, be merry, something like that. And but ashram means actually a place where you cultivate spiritual knowledge, where you develop spiritual qualities. So therefore the grihastha ashram is, although it's a concession for sense gratification, some sense gratification is necessary, ultimately it's meant for gradually becoming free from sense gratification and develop spiritual happiness. Spiritual sense gratification. And the soul also has spiritual senses. So, but when someone doesn't do that, when someone doesn't use this facility, the danger is there always in family life to fall down. It's quite an art to be a grihastha and live in the material world and maintain the family by working hard. You will be in contact with society that you live in and in contact with male-female relationship, children also, other family members, of course, like so neighbors. There's so much going on in the world, which the danger is there. Yat padam, yat vipadam natesham. That by every step there is danger. And family life is in the Bhagavatam compared to a deep, dark well. So it's like, you know, you have sometimes you have these blind wells in a field overgrown with long grass, and then you walk alone, you're on a journey, and then you don't see it, and you fall into the deep well, and there is no way to be saved. You have to wait until someone comes and hears you shouting, "Help, help." But of course, there are many examples of grihasthas, very advanced grihasthas. Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha, and he did very nice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a wonderful example of a grihastha who was very much spiritual advanced. But if someone doesn't do it properly, and he doesn't use the human intelligence, he becomes worse than an animal. Like there are many analogies of how animals are a victim of their own senses. So the senses are very strong and impetuous, and they can carry away even the mind of an intelligent man who is trying to control the senses. And that is always there at every moment. And it's yoga, it's a great art to control the mind and the senses and to develop the higher spiritual taste. When someone becomes like an animal and just gratifies his senses. Why be an animal? Because we perform these four activities. These are the basic necessities of life. Eating, ahara, nidra, sleeping, bhaya, defending ourselves, and maitunyam, that is sex life. Yeah. So they are there in the animals and they are there in the humans. It's the same. What's the difference? The difference is that the human form of life has a very large brain meant for understanding God. Yeah. And animals, they have other senses developed. Like pigeons, they can have almost unlimited sex. Bears, they have ample opportunity for sleeping. And tigers and lions, they are very well equipped for fighting and killing and eating meat. And horses, they are expert in swift running. Yeah. Vultures and eagles, they have a keen eyesight. But the human being, he has a large brain. He can, simple living and high thinking. Simple living and high thinking. And not complicated living and no more thinking. Stop and think. At a certain moment we have to stop and think. Stop running after so many material things. The animals, they are very foolish, like the camel chewing on thorns, and then his tongue is cut, and then bloodshed is there, and he enjoys this taste of blood. So that is an analogy to explain what sex life is, at least for the male, because when the male passes semen, one drop of semen is something like equal to 10 liters of blood, something like that. So it's like, oh, maybe, yeah. But it's a lot. It's a lot of energy. And by the yogi, this energy from the semen is raised through the spine to the brains, and in this way spiritual power is developed. And many other advantages are there. And animals are like the monkey is catched by putting a banana in a bottle, and then a monkey puts his hand in the bottle, grabs the banana, but because now he holds the banana, his hand is too big, he can't take it out of the bottle anymore, and he becomes distracted by that. He is focused on this banana, and because of that they can catch the monkey. He is inattentive to the danger of the monkey catcher. And even a large tiger, elephant, a large beast like an elephant, the elephant is known very well for his sex desire, the male elephant. How do they catch him? They dig a large hole and cover it with some leaves and branches. And then on the other side of the trap, they put a female elephant. And then the male elephant storms, rushes towards the female and falls into the hole. And this way they catch a large, strong beast. And he is a victim of his sense of sex desire, like that. And fireflies, they are very much attracted to the fire, to the light, and they just fly into it, and then they merge, and then they are finished. So deer are catched by sweet sounds. Like in the West, when they go hunting deers, they use a horn, they blow a horn. And in the East, in India, I heard they play flutes, bansuri. And the deer is very enchanted by sweet melody, and it becomes also inattentive, and then the hunters can catch them or kill them, like that. So similarly, that also happens to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, there's many, many verses explaining how the mind is carried away. Even if we are focused on one of the senses and we meditate on sense object, then the intelligence is taken over completely. Just like a ship is carried away by a storm, you know, very vigorously, very violently. So this is what has to be done. This is what the purport is all about. Prahlad Maharaj also, in the seventh canto, he says that family life, he quotes the verse, the famous verse, Adanta gobir vishatam tamisram puna punas charvita chavananam, that this materialistic way of life is like chewing the chewed. Every life we experience the same types of sense gratification and also problems, but we buy it again for many, many lifetimes. So, and also it is not easy to be in the Grihastha ashram, because family life, it's hard. The modern world creates a status quo in which we have to work very hard. Sometimes the wife and the wife is called a tigress, the children are called jackals. So the poor man has to work very, very hard to meet with all the needs, you know. And this society is creating more and more greed in the people, so that it's a consumery society. And if you have to pay the bills, then your salary is almost finished. There's not much left. You know, it becomes harder and harder. And the work you have to do, ugra karma, ugly work, you know, this industrial world creates horrible, horrible factories, and people have to work night shifts, you know. You know, can you imagine, instead of sleeping very nicely, to be able to get up for Mongol Arctic, you have to work night shifts. And you have to sleep during the daytime. You become like an owl. You know. And instead of chanting Hare Krishna, you say, ooh-hoo! And then you watch some TV and have some sex, and you become dull-headed. Like that. And this materialistic way of life degrades us. You know, there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Trividam narakasye dam dvaram nashanam atmana kama kruras tatalo bas tasmad itat trayam tyajet. There are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Lust, anger, and greed. You know. So, of course, by giving in to lusty desires, it is compared to the skin disease. You know, the entire material existence is compared to a diseased condition, bhavarog. And when someone has an infection in the skin and it itches and one starts scratching, that gives a little relief, but ultimately it makes things worse. So the goal is not to enjoy the scratching, but the goal is to cure the infection. So the goal is not sense gratification, but the goal is to get rid of the diseased sense gratification and develop the higher taste for spiritual pleasure. That is the healthy condition. And how do we develop that? Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana ridyantastu yabhadrani vidunoti surit satam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So Krishna cleanses desire in the heart if we learn to chant and hear properly. Now, this other verse in the Bhagavatam, I think it's the second canto, it says, Nasta Priyeshwa Badrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Rudamash Luke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, and rendering service unto the Bhagavat, the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart, the anarthas, troublesome to the heart, unwanted desires, all that is troublesome to the heart becomes practically destroyed until almost, right? And loving devotional service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Irrevocable means you cannot turn it back, you cannot reverse it. It's done. Nehabi kramuna shusti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmata trayate mahato bayat. Just a little bit advancement, spiritual advancement, can save us from the greatest type of fear, which means to take birth again, or to fall down to hellish life. So this verse I was quoting from the Bhagavad Gita, Trividam Narakasiram, three types of enemies are there, you know, lust, anger, and greed. So greed is also developed. You know, if Srila Prabhupada said here also, he says that if sense gratification is not satisfied, then one becomes greedy to get more, and also angry, frustrated. And you can see a lot of anger in the world. People are killing each other. It's all just because lust is frustrated. That's why anger comes from passion. I want more. Greed. It says that there is enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. God created enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. I had something, and there was some anecdote here that an angry man can be pacified when he is chastising someone. Someone is angry, you chastise someone, then it helps to become peaceful again. And a thirsty man can have some water, and then he will be happy. A hungry man can have some food, but a greedy man can never be satisfied by anything, no matter how much he accumulates. So the only way to deal with greed is to give up that greedy mentality. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here also we have to become a Goswami, and he said to a sannyasi that just took sannyas, that you have to remember two things. First, don't look back to what you have left behind, and second, never be jealous of the householders. And when a sannyasi returns back to household life, he that is compared to eating his own vomit. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, so the solution to everything I just mentioned, by glorifying the Lord, by hearing and chanting properly, then Krishna cleanses desire from within the heart. And there's a nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter. Mam chayu vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitya itan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service and does not fall down under any circumstance, once transcends the three modes of material nature and comes to the platform of Brahman. So by performing devotional service, unmotivatedly, uninterruptedly, never falling down, then we come to the transcendental platform, Brahman. And Brahman means to develop brahminical qualities. The brahminical qualities. Shamodamastapasho chum kshantirarjavameva cha gyanam vigyanamastikyam brahmakarmasvabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmins work. Of course, a Vaishnava is even beyond being a Brahmin, because Bhagavan realization, to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then these brahminical qualities are there. And very peaceful, no lust, no anger, very tolerant, clean, and very knowledgeable, wise, realized. All these wonderful qualities will manifest. And that's the goal of life. And of course, we cannot immediately become completely renounce, give up the material world immediately. So there are different paths: karma yoga, jnana yoga, and also in the ashrams. If we take to the Grihastha ashram, then when we get a little older, naturally, as devotees, the desire to renounce that family life is developed. The Grihamedi not. If the karmis, if they go old, they're still very attached to family life, to sense gratification. It's a very hard knot, you know. And aham ammeti, I, me, mine, you know, I'm this body, this is my wife, these are my children, these are my goods, this is my house, my possessions. We think that we are the enjoyer, the proprietor, the controller of everything, the owner, like that. And but by practicing a spiritual life in the Grihastha ashram, gradually the desire, as devotees, this desire for thinking I am the proprietor and the controller, and therefore I can enjoy, that diminishes gradually. It's natural. That is the wonderful thing about spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, that we don't have to be afraid too much. Most of devotees will be a Grihastha. Only a few can remain brahmacharya very long and then take sannyas at a young age, you know. Sometimes devotees did that, but then they fell down. So better remain in the Grihastha ashram until a natural renunciation develops. what is that verse? By performing Krishna consciousness, naturally, knowledge, and Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. Causeless knowledge and detachment by performing devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this comes. So if we are situated in the Grihastha ashram, then gradually that comes. And more jnana transforms more into vijnana, or the knowledge from the scriptures becomes practically realized, and we start to act more according to that knowledge, and we experience it. We experience that family life is a dark well. It's not just in the scriptures, we undergo it in this crazy modern world especially. It must have been nicer in Vedic times, family life. But now in this modern world, it is almost impossible. Srila Prabhupada made a nice expression he gave. He said that sense gratification in Maya, spiritual life is difficult, I admit that. But sense gratification in Maya is impossible. It's impossible. So then we realize that, and then naturally, by the age of 50, we have the desire to be vanaprastha. And actually, personally, I experienced that. I've been a brahmachari strictly for 10 years. Strictly, sometimes not so strict. And then after that, naturally, you want to get married. It's natural. Krishna created this ashrams and the varnas. Chaturvarnam, Hajar, Shristva. He created these. It's natural. And we have to follow the system of Varnasham Dharma. So, but it's naturally done. After, when you're a brahmachari for so many years, naturally the desire is there to get married, family life. Some sense gratification is there. Put a nice vase with flowers on the table and think, well, it's a cozy home. I'm happy here. That's the sense gratification required. And the wife cooks a nice dinner. And the children, when they talk and bubbly talk and play, it's fun. for some time. For some time it's fun, but then problems come. Small children, small problems. Big children, big problems. That can really get on your nerves, and you cannot even go to Mongol Arctic anymore. The sun keeps you awake. And for 1 week I didn't go to Mongol Arctic. My son kept me awake. He's very active at 1 o'clock in the night still. I can't sleep. But I have to undergo the test. Yeah, family life. Okay, that was one example. So, but then naturally you be vanaprastha. It's natural. You get fed up with it. And you develop more spiritual taste. So naturally you wanted, you practiced. You practiced and you struggled, and then you develop more taste for spirituality. You like to go to the Mongol Arctic, associate with devotees. You're fed up with the non-devotees. It was a big task to associate with the non-devotees for years out there in this world, in this society. So this is my personal experience, realized knowledge. And and we all have to go through these things, and when time is ready, we might take sannyas, who knows. That's good. And then go back home, back to Godhead. I think I stop here. Thank you very much for listening so attentively. Are there any comments or questions? Oh, dark web. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, also there's many quotes from Srila Prabhupada, like it's not necessary, you can stay at home, and you can we don't even have to open so many centers, build big temples, you just, everyone stays at home and be Krishna conscious. And I also in my Grihastha life, I always have been active in preaching. Open your door, invite people to come, go and visit some other Grihasthas and have namhat, have preaching. And when you do these things very nicely, it's very good. And then on the holidays, you visit the large temples and the holy places. And in this way, you spend all your time and all your money and all your energy for Krishna consciousness. And that is also sannyas. Because if Yukta Vairagya principle, if you use everything in the service of the Lord, that even as a Grihastha, you're supposed to be sannyasi also. Not officially, but practically, in practice. So, okay, anything else? Yeah. Yeah. It sounds a little, I don't know where these quotes came from. I got them from the 12th canto, I think, really, Ananda Maharaj in a purport. That might be from Chanakya Pandit. It sounds like Chanakya Pandit's wisdom. Huh? No? Oh. Yeah. So you have a good alternative how to get rid of your anger very quickly if it starts to go a little. Yeah. You have to detect it in an early stage, yeah, and just like fire. Avoid anger. But this is just an analogy, you know. It's not an advice that you should just ask people when you become angry. You know, well, it's just an example. It's not really. The other ones are more clear, like eating when you're hungry or drinking when you're thirsty, isn't it? Okay. That's it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.